Bears, El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445, and online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com, where we, what do we do? Oh, we have live streaming video of our show each and every night, so you can watch us online. You can watch us performing the show. You can also access our comments section if you have a backstage pass. You can access thousands of hours of archived radio shows going back over a decade. You can partake helping us assemble our best of, some of our best of downloads. We've got one now. We're putting together our best of Bobby Dooley, which will be available by the end of this month on our website. So with a backstage pass, all of that and more, and join us over there, won't you? Plus, we have a free podcast and radio station, if you will, of our own, philhenryradio.com. You can listen to us 24/7 from our archives over at philhenryradio.com and also download our latest podcast. So if you wonder, well, I'd like to get a backstage pass, but I want to hear more, head over to philhenryradio.com. And this week's podcast is what, Robert?
Yeah, the Milwaukee Lions.
The Milwaukee Lions, and it's the last of the Milwaukee Lion freebies, I think. I don't think they're going to be on the podcast anymore, but there's a whole new Milwaukee Lions season that'll be rolling out on this Sunday, starting with a preseason game against the Utah Flaming Cavalry. Jack Igagdor and Brett Morrison on hand for the play-by-play, so don't miss that. All right. What else is happening here in this nutty, kooky kind of a world of ours? What a weekend for me, just from the standpoint of the sleep cycle. And those of you who are third shifters, you know what this is all about. I'm not exactly a third shifter, see?
But that means third shifter. It means I'm like working all night.
Yeah, it's working late night or working all night. And here's the thing about my life as a third shifter, if you will. When I say I'm not exactly, I don't work all night. I work until 1 a.m. But, and this is what makes life a little bit more difficult, let's say, than ordinarily. When I get off the air at 1 o'clock, I still have a number of things that I got to do. You know, I have I got to update the website in terms of the podcast. I have to make sure that I get in touch with our guys that are doing fulfillment. I have to make sure that I get in touch with a couple of our producers, our website producers, to make sure that they're updating other things on the website. Podcasts have to be sometimes produced. So there's a lot that I have to do, and I'm not complaining about any of it, but by the time I get to sleep some mornings, it's 5 a.m. Now, that's an all-nighter in and of itself, but then, like the other night, like, what was it, last night?
Yeah, man, you didn't go to bed at all last night.
Yeah, I didn't go to sleep at all. I mean, I was up just doing stuff, and by the time I looked around, man, the sun was coming up. And I still wasn't tired, so I didn't go to sleep today. And I say today, I say yesterday, that would be yesterday, Monday morning at 11 a.m., and I slept till about 5 o'clock. So I'm telling you, this is not good, man.
You know, you gotta get a good sleeping pill.
Yeah, they don't have no good over-the-counter one. They got one over-the-counter sleeping pill that I think is pretty good, Unisom, I think that works.
Nah, that's no good.
Well, I don't know what else I'm going to do, man, because my doctor, you know, good old Doc Emery, and he's a good doctor. He's no way. He's not giving me any of that stuff, man. He won't give me Ambien. None of it.
No, he won't give you none of that. Why?
I don't know, because he probably thinks I'm going to freaking turn into a drug addict or something. But he will not prescribe that. He's given me all kinds of this, what is this jazz? what do you call it stuff? Herbal stuff?
Yeah, like natural.
Herbal jazz. Some other thing that I'm not sure what it was. It was medicine, but it's something that has to do more with the functioning of the biochemistry of the body. It's not specifically a sleeping aid. It's like to help that part of the body that helps you sleep. He's a good doctor, you know.
Yeah, but at one point he's got to give you something.
I mean, if I went to him and I said you got to give me something, doc, I'm sure he would, you know. So anyway, so this was the weekend, and so I got off the air on Friday night, and I slept until 5 o'clock Saturday, and then I slept until 5 o'clock on Sunday. That sucks, you know?
Man, you gotta find out a way to get around that.
I'll tell you what I gotta do. I gotta get the hell out of here again, man. I mean, I live and I work not more than a couple of blocks from each other. Where I live and where I work, 2 blocks away from each other. So I essentially, I live and work in the same square block. So it's like I live where I work. And the neighborhood around here, whether it's residential or whether it's business, reminds me of work a lot of times. You know, I had a friend of mine, Mitch, said to me, "Hey, man, why, you don't even have to take a vacation because where you live right at the beach."
Yeah, but that's work.
Exactly. You better believe it's work. So I got to get the hell out of here, man. You know.
But there's stuff about moving to London.
Well, I mean, I was only half kidding, but I was on Twitter this weekend and I said, I don't know if you guys saw the closing show. I was very impressed with these Olympics. I just was. And I haven't been in London in over 20 years. And when I saw the city again, watching these Olympics, I got very nostalgic, you know, and remembered fondly the days that I spent there and the time that I spent there. And I was on Twitter this weekend saying, "I'm moving to London. That's all there is to it. I want to go someplace where, you know, people give a crap."
Yeah, what's that mean?
I don't know. It's just what I said. But I, yeah, you know, I just felt like it was, it'd be a change of pace because I just feel like I'm stuck in this rut working and living in the same place. Margaret Gray joining us from Santa Monica. You lived and worked in London, didn't you, Margaret?
I did. You know, after Frank and I got married, when we were separated briefly, which I've told you about back in the early 90s, I was over there and I was living with my sister Karen.
Now, what does Karen do?
Well, Karen was working for a bank over there. She went to the business school over there, a very prestigious business school, the London School of Economics. You know the London School of Economics?
Yes, it is very prestigious.
She went there. She graduated from the London School, and I think she went to work for Barclays. But while she was there, I went, and Frank and I separated. It was before Jason J. Delmonico was married, was born, I should say. My goodness, isn't that a Freudian slip?
Yeah, before Jason J. Delmonico was married. Now, what does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know. It's Freudian. It's psychological. It's something.
What'd you say?
I said I lived in London not before Jason J. was born, but...
Before she was married, I heard that.
Yes, before he got married. And he's not married. He's 14. Anyway, Phil, make a long story short... I was in London, and I loved it. I loved it deeply. I loved it madly. We clubbed. We went to all the different places, Stringfellows. We went to all the shows, all of the things that were happening at that time, you know. And, of course, it's a decidedly different scene now.
But they still have the dance clubs and the...
Well, they still have the cabarets and the different night spots, but... I think it would be a great move for you to go to London to become more cosmopolitan, because I think that you can live, even Los Angeles gets to be so hick, you know.
What do you mean by hick?
Well, I think there's parts of L.A. that are just hick. I mean, real, real redneck. And
like where?
Well, you know, I mean, just where you grew up and where you're living now, up there, the Ventura County line and out there in the sand. You have found yourself, Phil, and I didn't want to say this.
Somehow I knew this was going to get said.
Yeah, you're said it before.
Would you tell him to shut up, please?
Bud, please.
God almighty.
Yeah, you said it before.
Okay, I said it before. Big discovery. Yes, I did say it before, Phil. Where you grew up and where you live now, I've got to tell you, you gravitate to some of the most thick areas of this city that I've ever seen in my life. I'm not exactly sure what that's about, and I'm reluctant to judge.
Well, it's all right. I grew up in the San Gabriel Valley of Los Angeles, and for those of you who are not familiar, it's a pretty old part of the suburban Los Angeles environment. There was the... You think of the San Fernando Valley, but it is true that was basically unpopulated. It wasn't part of the city.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't grow up on a farm.
No, I grew up in the burbs.
Yeah, but it's real redneck, real right wing, real right wing.
That I won't argue with.
All right, now guess where you live? You live up on the county line there, L.A. Ventura. Now there's a lot of surfing and there's a nice beach and there's all this, but guess what? Here's that problem again. Real reactionary and right wing. What's your problem? You know, And
what do you mean, what's my problem?
Well, I'm not saying you're doing it on purpose, Phil, but you're... Frank wants to say something.
How you doing, young man?
I'm good, Frank. How are you?
Look, I'm better than Custer, but he's talking about the right-wingers you're living around out there. You know, you live up there on the Ventura County line, and there's nothing but these real extreme rightists. You remember when they used to have the fairy fair?
Yeah, it wasn't the fairy fair. It was called the...
They had that fairy tale fair. What the hell they call it, Phil, up there?
Fairy tale fair?
Yes, they had a fairy tale. It was a bunch of...
Oh, the Renaissance.
Yeah, you remember the Renaissance fair?
Yeah.
All right. I represented some of the vendors because the right-wingers up there wanted to throw these fairy balls out of there. I told that one guy, I forget her name, that she was the on the board of supervisors, John Flynn, okay? You remember her?
Yeah, well, he's still on the board of supervisors.
All right. So I said to her, I said, look, what do you need? And she said, I wanted the hell out of here. Get all these fruit balls, wrap them all up. I don't care what you do with them. You can drop them in the Pacific Ocean, but we don't need all of these fairy ball, the fairy, you know, and...
He called the Renaissance Fair, Frank, the Renaissance Fair.
I try to tell him,
I don't know what the hell it's called. All I know is I was hired to represent some of the vendors. So, like a long story short, you know, I said to this guy Flynn, I told her, I'll get them out the hell out of your backyard, but you keep your paws off from here on out. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. So you got the Renaissance Fair moved out of Ventura County.
Right. Okay, so...
So big deal. So nice job. So now there's more right-wingers out here than ever before.
Well, it kept Flynn from getting her hands on all these fairy tale people, see?
Well, that's great.
But, you think I'm a sellout or something?
You didn't exactly do anybody any favors, Frank.
Oh, the bull crap I did.
Okay, Frank and Margaret, thank you. I got to take a break. The fairy ball people.
Yeah, like the Cinderella fairy ball.
Anyway, 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show. It was called the Renaissance Fair. Anybody remember that?
No, I don't.
They had it out in the Ventura County, L.A. County area. All right, we'll be right back. They have them all over the place. Every city's got one of these things. It's the world famous, what are you looking at?
What is it?
You dress up like you're King Arthur or something. We'll be right back, Phil Hendry Show.
Truth. Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
It's Elizabethan. It's Elizabethan. Hey, Henry.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Friend of yours, Glenn, right?
Right, your friend of Ian.
Well, we'll get him on here in a minute. 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show here as we talk about the issues of the day. It's our news and information hour. We did a whole couple of hours on Paul Ryan. We're not going to do any more on that. Terrible news from Texas A&M, where there was a shooting over the weekend. Three people were killed just after noon on Monday. Well, this was not this weekend. This was today, or yesterday, I should say, Monday. Brazos County Constable Brian Bachman embarked on a seemingly routine chore, serving an eviction notice in a pleasant neighborhood a few blocks from Texas A&M. And so it was not on campus, but so this man was serving an eviction notice, which is what the sheriffs oftentimes do. But a man at the house on Fidelity Street opened fire, killing Constable Bachman. It triggered a 30-minute shootout with police that left the gunman and a bystander dead in an outbreak of violence that shocked this serene college town. Police killed the gunman, but not before he shot and killed a 43-year-old man and wounded a 55-year-old woman. An officer responded to a 911 call about the constable was wounded in the leg. During confused and chaotic early reports, fears arose that College Station would join Aurora and Oak Creek, Wisconsin, in the latest spasm of shooting rampages by lone gunmen. Texas A&M issued a code maroon warning on its website stating that an active shooter was in the area. And people were talking about how surreal this is, and there's no question, guys, you know, that when an event like this takes place, Aurora, you have to automatically assume that an unbalanced mind, a psychotic mind, or a mind that is abnormal, like a psychopathic mind, will act out because those minds embrace these pieces of reality as a way of expressing control over the environment. If you're a psychopath, all you want is control. If you're psychotic, you're praying for control because your whole freaking world, every time you turn around, there's maybe a munchkin here and a talking statue over there, and your mind is gone. So, I mean, I can't lend anything to this dialogue other than, I mean, there's a lot I got to say, but we already said it. The Aurora, Colorado event, that shooting, what more are you going to say, you know? But I'll say something here that I don't think has been said, and that is, if one of these things happens, unbalanced minds look at it and embrace it as a some kind of a logical course of action, you know?
Do they talk about like if a guy's crazy and he sees about somebody shooting something?
Yes, yes. So when Aurora happened, we probably should have automatically said, somewhere out there there's a psychotic or a psychopathic brain that's at work that's going to take a look at these events and see them as a course of action in controlling their reality. So we should have said there's going to be another shooting somewhere. And maybe there were. I mean, we don't talk about that stuff necessarily in the talk radio world because, you know, it's considered perhaps, well, maybe it's not so much irresponsible. It's just a drag, you know?
Yeah, but you could let people know.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, man. I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't think of it. Now I'm thinking about it, you know?
Maybe there was a guy out there that did.
I don't know. There could have been some people out there on the radio that were saying, you know, let's here. There's going to be another one, but it's a pretty logical thing to expect. And this article I'm reading here about Texas, automatically just kicked into place for me because it said in the latest spate of violent shootings that have rocked the country, you know, in the latest spasm, it said, of shooting rampages by lone gunmen that have rocked our country. So they always do come in these groups, it seems. There's one, there's another, and it's because out there in the world there's a damaged brain or an abnormal brain looking at it and saying, aha, that's I'm gonna do that, you know.
Yeah, but why don't they say something like, oh, look at that, man, a guy got a guy graduated from college.
What?
What are you talking about? It sounds idiotic.
No, it's not idiotic. I'm saying, why don't they act out on that?
Are you an idiot or something? They're not going to go to school. Oh, I'm crazy. I know. I'm going to act out and go to school and get a degree. You're an idiot.
But don't call people names. It doesn't sound like something that a psychotic person is looking for shortcuts because his brain is a freaking mess, man. And a psychopath is looking for immediate gratification. Because his abnormal view of life is, I gotta control things, you know? So the last thing those two guys are gonna do is embark on some get a college degree, because that's gonna be their way of controlling life. I mean, they wouldn't be crazy, you know? They wouldn't be nuts, or they wouldn't be abnormal.
What do you mean abnormal?
Because I don't call psychopaths crazy. They're not. They're abnormal. Anyway, it's pretty surreal, said one of the people that lives around there, Nicole McMurr, a Texas A&M junior. She said a few hours after all of this went down, police identified the gunman as Thomas Kafal. He's 35 years of age, and they said they knew of no motive. Kafal appeared to have no serious criminal record. According to court records, in 2006, he pled no contest to driving with a suspended driver's license. A man listed as Thomas Kafal on Facebook wrote that he was from Bryan, Texas, and lived in adjacent College Station. The profile photo appears to be of a man shown in Kafal's driver's license photo, which police released. Kafal's wall photos include snapshots of guns. Just picked it up today. Can't wait to try it out on the range, he posted on June 7, 2011.
Yeah, see? That guy's a gun nut. That don't mean anything.
Bud, what are you, crazy? I mean, look. I can show you, I can introduce you to people that have guns. I can tell you about people that have guns. Even people who put pictures of guns up. They're not nuts. This is wrong, man, to say, aha, see, this guy had a wall of photos of guns on his Facebook page, therefore jacked up. Kafal wrote in 2011 on May 13th, I just got a new toy. It's a Russian Mosin Nagant. I'll be at the gun range as much as I can. Cat liked guns, but he also liked Forrest Gump and Jack Kerouac. He said that's who he was, Forrest Gump and Jack Kerouac, on the road permanently. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Who's that? Jack Kerouac.
The writer.
What kind?
Just the writer. He's a freak. He's a beatnik.
Yeah, that's what did it, man. I'm going to stop you a beatnik.
Yeah, that's it, man. He was a beatnik. That's what drove him.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back. Here are the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't know why this kind of stuff is interesting to me, but I've always wondered about attempts at democracy in countries where the military has been really strong, and there is absolutely, there is nowhere near the tradition that we have here of a civilian-controlled, a civilian-led military. You know,
What do you mean?
Look, we have a commander-in-chief that's a civilian, the president, okay? And the military is funded by the Congress, and the military draws from, obviously, all militaries draw from the people, but our military gets it, and it would take an extreme break with tradition. It would take a criminal break with tradition that I don't think anyone in the American with an American military mindset would ever... really, I'm sure there would be some that would consider it, but it would never ever take off as a movement in our military because it's anathema to the thinking of the United States military to stage a coup, you know.
That's when a military takeover. Oh, is that what a coup is? I was wondering what a coup was.
Yeah, that's what a coup is. It's when the military takes over. Okay, or a coup can be actually anything. That is a violent, or it can be any change in the power or the leadership of a country that is extra legal or illegal.
What's extra legal mean?
Bud.
God, man, don't you know nothing? I don't know what extra legal means.
Beyond the law, okay? Beyond the law. Breaking the law, beyond the law, extra legal, you know, it's illegal. So I've always wondered about these countries, like Egypt is a great example. Egypt. Trying to establish a democratic tradition, and they have a military there that has ruled the roost, man. You could not, lead that country unless you had the support of the military. It's probably very equally true in Iran. I don't think there's a dictatorship anywhere in the world, a totalitarian form of government, an autocratic form of government anywhere in the world that doesn't need the military.
Don't America need the military?
America needs the military to defend America. But I don't think the military in this country is stronger than the will of the American people. Now, I know they have the guns, and I know they have the soldiers.
Yeah, that's all that counts.
Well, hold on. But the will of the American people is such, and the military in this country is so married to the civilian world in this country. They're just inextricably linked that there's no way that kind of thinking could, I don't think, and I, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but it would take a lot for that kind of thinking to take root in an American military that is so linked to the civilian world. For people to join the U.S. military, your mind is coming from a democratic tradition of just where the power is in this country. And for some guy in the U.S. military to say, oh, I think I'm going to stage a coup, you'd have to be some kind of stinking commie, you know.
Yeah, man, you'd be like a Nazi or something.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't be American. You'd be some kind of a freak. In any event, here is why I bring all that bull crap up, man, because I'm looking at Egypt. Now, here's a country that's very interesting. They just had an election. All kinds of bull crap around that election, as you well know. It wasn't fair, this, that. Now, the president there, Mohamed Morsi, has purged Egypt's top generals. He found that there was a great deal of demoralization. There was cronyism. there was a lack of promotion opportunity. There's all kinds of stuff going on in the military. And here's what he did. He didn't just fire the top generals in the Egyptian military. He went a step further. He leaned on, and I'm quoting directly the New York Times article, he leaned on support from the junior officers, meaning he didn't alienate the entire military by firing all these slobs that were running the Egyptian military into the ground, and in the process providing very bad example of leadership for the country. He embraced the military, but it's junior officer corps.
So he fired a bunch of old guys.
Yeah.
You could say that he fired a bunch of old guys. He leaned on the support of junior officers that blamed the old guard for a litany of problems within the military and for involving the armed forces too deeply in the country's politics after the uprising that ousted Mr. Morsi's predecessor, Hosni Mubarak. In an interview, so what he did was he embraced that part of the Egyptian military that is a more democratically minded. They don't want any piece of the politics. They're a younger officer corps. They understand what their role is. They're the military. They are the defense of the country. They are the soldiers that go to war for the country. They don't run the bloody politics of the country. In an interview, one ranking officer said the military had grown increasingly demoralized because of meager salaries, growing confusion over the role of its leaders. Those complaints crystallized last week after gunmen killed 16 soldiers in the northern Sinai Peninsula, causing embarrassment throughout the ranks. The military didn't change, said the officer, a unit commander who was not authorized to speak to reporters and requested anonymity. Give me equipment to work. You can't give me ruined cars, 100 soldiers, and ask me to secure 30 square kilometers in the desert. The changing of the guard left an uncertain landscape. The balance of power has apparently shifted to Mr. Morsi with the powerful Supreme Council of the Armed Forces, which had been running the country since the revolution last year, unsettled but still firmly in place. But on Monday, a day after the general's ouster, there was no signs that the military was mobilizing in protest. That led many analysts to suspect the president had reached an accommodation with a new generation of military leaders who were seeking to restore the armed forces' credibility, enhance their own positions, and preserve the military's privileged and protected place in society.
What's that mean?
Well, it means they want to be a military that is valued. They also don't want to be involved in politics. I mean, I don't think there's a whole big difference in the feelings of the Egyptian, at least these Egyptian officers, than from the United States military. You know, give us a little bit of respect here. We go out and we die for this country, if you don't mind. But we got no interest in being politically involved. It's still very, very new, and it's still a very young process. But as they said, there were no signs the military was mobilizing in protest, and he sacked a lot of top-ranking guys. On Sunday, Mr. Morsi forcibly retired the country's defense minister, Field Marshal Mohammad Hussein Tantawi, and the Army Chief of Staff, Sami Hafez Inan. The heads of the Air Force, Navy, and Air Defense were also forced into retirement. Since the purge, Egyptians have desperately sought clues about whether the shakeup would begin a new period of conflict between the military and Mr. Morsi, a former leader in the Muslim Brotherhood. Changing those leaders was smart for Morsi, the officer said. He waited for the right timing when the country had already taken steps along the right path. Whether or not he struck a bargain with younger officers, he might have enhanced his credibility with political forces outside the Brotherhood who had clamored for an end to military rule. At the same time, he could gain a degree of loyalty from a cast of officers who owe their new prominence to him. So this may be the beginning of a break from that military dictatorship tradition and that military autocracy. And it's also kind of, I know this is a whole bunch of really fancy schmancy stuff here.
No, I think it's pretty cool.
I don't understand it, but I'm listening to be polite.
Thank you very much, bud. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, I don't want to be yelling at me.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's good, man.
Yeah, because a lot of people were yelling last week.
Okay, fine. Let me finish here. So what he did was... Shut up. I knew you were going to do that.
I'm kidding.
So what he did was he might have even laid out a blueprint for how it can be done. Let's face it. There's only one direction for the world to go in. There's only one direction. And it's clearer and clearer with every passing day, and that is the direction of democracy and the voice of the people. All over the world, wherever you go, that's what people want. We're all done with the whole commie thing. the autocratic dictatorship, the monarchy, all that bull crap, that ain't working. That Iranian religious theocratic revolution, horse dung. We saw what they had to do to their own people, back in 09 when the green wave was sweeping the country, and they had to take it down violently. There's only one direction, and that's the democratic direction. And these militaries that don't get it, these military dictatorships, if your mind is to slaughter your own people, well, I guess there's nobody going to stop you until they stop you, you know. But you guys are not going to last. You cats don't. That's not the direction of the world. So if you're in a military force that is a part of some power sharing, or you believe you can control a country, your days are numbered, man. And I'll tell you, I think the Egyptian military, at least these guys, saw it.
Yeah, they probably thought, man, they asked me out in front of a firing squad, man.
Yeah, like the one we saw that one time.
The one we saw that one time.
Those movies you was watching?
Oh, yeah, we were looking at firing squad stuff. That's kind of sick.
You know, I shouldn't tell people that. They're going to think you're sick.
They already know I'm sick. We were looking at some movies, and it was military stuff. It wasn't grotesque. They were shooting Nazis. So what do you want from me, huh?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Anyway, the Egyptian Junior Corps, to me, this stuff is really interesting. I'll probably wind up reading a book about it. I'll probably wind up going on and on about it during our pre-show, and I will probably wind up talking about it on the show, and people will go, huh? But that's just me. All right. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, online at philhenryshow.com. A couple of things to remind you about. We have the Best of Bobby Dooley coming out this month. That'll be a download available to you. You don't even have to be a Backstage Pass member to buy it, but you do have to be a Backstage Pass member to assemble it. And we're asking our BSPs to vote by way of the BSP email tab on our website on your favorite Bobby Dooley bit. And then we will tally the votes, and we will come up with the best Bobby Dooley bits, and it will be the Best of Bobby Dooley as a download for sale in our shop very, very soon. We'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's
Truth
Tuesday
is
morning.
Our bitch.
We're already
Phil
on
Henry
Monday.
Show.
Yay! 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 Yeah! Ow!
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, if you're looking at Phil TV in HD, I've put up on the screen our homepage, our Phil Henry Show homepage. And what that is it's kind of, I kind of been having fun lately.
That's Captain Crunch.
Yes, it's Captain Crunch, but it's Captain Crunch that I blended into a picture that I took in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. That's a photograph. And then I put that photograph through a program called Photogene, which turns any photograph, it can turn a photograph into an oil painting.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me, man.
But is it what?
It's like an oil painting. See how that was a photograph.
Yeah, that's a painting.
It's a photograph. Are you listening to what I'm saying, man?
Yeah, but it looks like a painting.
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Listen to what he's saying, man. Sorry.
It's a photograph that I put through a photo program, a thing called Photogene, that turned it into an oil painting. Okay?
Oh.
Then I took Captain Crunch and I blended his ass into that.
Looks like he's standing in the water.
Yeah, so it sort of looks like he's standing in the water. Doesn't look exactly like it. Now, why did I do that? I have no idea.
What?
Don't worry about it, bud. I just did it for kicks. Because people do Instagram, and I do a lot of Instagram, and I decided that I would do an Instagram picture like that. I don't know, you know.
People think that you're kind of crazy, though, man.
Why?
Yeah, because you have one of the Instagram pictures you put, you had a hipster dancing at a Adolf Hitler house.
Yeah, well, that's my thing, man. I like to take, excuse me, I like to take weird-ass pictures. And I like to make stuff out of them. I don't know. What do you want from me?
Yeah, but a lot of people think you're flipped out.
If they think I'm flipped, what? They thought I was sane before? You out of your mind? I mean, my thing is, I took that one picture. I'll tell you the one that got everybody pissed off. I took a picture of the Kardashians. And it was all of them?
Yeah, that's the one everybody's talking about.
Okay. I took a picture of the Kardashians, and it was a group family photo with all of them, man. Even some Kardashians that I didn't even know existed. I mean, there's some that come out of the woodwork, you know.
Like who?
I don't know who they are. There's I know the one Courtney and all, you know, the ones that are on TV. I know them, and I know Bruce Jenner. I know the mother, but there's some that I don't know. But anyway, there's a whole and Robert Kardashian. Is he one?
No, that was a dad.
Yeah. Well, isn't there a junior? Yeah, I think there is. Anyway, so I took this group photo of the Kardashians, and I put them in heaven.
Yeah, that's because Jesus was there, too. That's why people got pissed off.
So Jesus was there. So what, man? I mean, my whole thing was this. You don't know who's going to heaven. We don't know. If we're supposedly leaving all of this up to God, which is what we do, right? Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, it's supposed to. God's the only one.
Okay. Okay, if God's the only one, it's possible the Kardashians will wind up all going to heaven. How do I know, man? So that was the point of making that picture. So I made this picture of the Kardashians going to hell. Oh, my God, people, you would have thought I had Hitler walking into heaven, you know?
Well, yeah, but it's the same thing, man.
How's it the same? Are you nuts?
How's it the same thing? Kardashian didn't put no people in a gas chamber. Well, but I mean...
What are you crazy? How could you possibly compare them to Hitler?
A lot of people don't like him, though.
So they don't like him, man. It's a ridiculous thing to compare to Hitler. God.
Yeah, but a lot of people, I mean, if you think about what Kim Kardashian did on a dead animal.
On a dead animal? What is she talking about?
She? Yeah, would you call me she?
What are you talking about?
She puts on dead animal clothes.
Oh, get out of here, man. Is that anti-fur bullcrap? That's... Whatever, man, okay? I mean...
Yeah, but a lot of people think that like Hitler.
If there's anybody in America, if there's anybody in the world that thinks the Kardashians wearing fur is the same as what Hitler did, they should be put back in kindergarten. I mean, they should be sent off every day to a kindergarten class, not allowed to go out and earn a living, not allowed to go out and interact with adults, not allowed to go anywhere but to the kindergarten class with their lunch in a bag... Take their nap time, do their clay figures, and then take the bus home and repeat it every day for the entire school year.
You think they ought to go back to kindergarten?
Yes. Anybody that engages in that kind of rhetoric it deserves to go back to kindergarten. That's the most asinine thing in the history of the world. I understand there's people that are flipped out about the fur thing. I get it. You know, it's a reasonable argument either way, because here's the thing. Man comes from thousands and thousands and thousands of years of wearing animal fur, and all of a sudden now, because there's not one or two, but there's a handful of people that think they're so smart, and they're so evolved, and they're so much better than everybody else, that now it's time for us to stop wearing animal furs. And anybody that does is a murderer. I think you are. Look, I'm the world's... I support Save the Seals, the sea lions, all what those bastards up there in Canada doing with those little baby seals, man.
Yeah, so how come you support that?
Because that's pointless, man. It's pointless to kill a little baby seal for some stupid ass's coat, okay? What they're doing in Canada, those seals, makes no sense. That's the Canadian equivalent of keeping an industry alive through subsidy that nobody wants to see remain. Nobody is buying that crap. Nobody wants seal skins. Nobody wants it. But the seal guys up there, they're all, hey, you know, what's the federal government going to do to us, eh? You know?
But is that how they talk?
Yeah. I'm going to belt you. I swear to God. So, you know, but the fact that there may be some fur trade going on in this country because it keeps you extra warm or whatever and people aren't all that educated, all right. I mean, let's talk about it. Let's sit down. And I don't want to see animals suffer. But I'll tell you this. Calling those, it's comparing them to Hitler. You see how you got sucked into that, Robert?
Yeah, Robert just... Just because you like Kim Kardashian's butt. Shut up, man. Oh, I never said nothing about her butt. Yeah, you did.
All right, okay. We can reasonably expect that people like some guys like Kim Kardashian's butt. Okay?
Yeah, that ain't the reason why I'm saying what I'm saying, though. Yeah, and what is? Oh, like, I don't want to see no animal dead.
Ollie, are you hearing what I'm saying here, Robert? I'm saying that, yeah, we can debate it. That don't make them Hitler, man.
Yeah, well, I just think it's bad. Yeah, don't make him like Hitler, like Phil said. Yeah, why don't you just repeat something else he said, like last half hour, man? You can write it all down. No, you're the one.
Will you guys shut up before I start swinging again? Look at this. I wrecked my news. WFSB's Face the State. What the hell was that? I don't know. All right, guys, that is the end of that, man. The beginning of a, Monday's out of the way. Does it feel good or what? Yes, it does. This is Tuesday AM. Now, I know many of you are waiting around for your morning drive show in your local market. And, David G has got something to talk to me about today, man. I don't know what it is. I'm going to have to give him a call. Also, don't forget that we're getting up on the end of the month. So if you're a BSP, get in your Bobby Dooley vote. Next week, next Sunday, starting at 12 noon, it will be the first preseason game of the Milwaukee Lions. They take on the Utah Flaming Cavalry from the Beaver Dome in Salt Lake City, which is where they're going to have the Dickman Bowl, bud.
Yeah, he named it after me. How come they named it after him? Because they wanted to.
Anyway, they did, Robert. The Dickman Bowl, which is emblematic of championship of the Phil Henry Hillbilly Football Conference, preseason starting this coming Sunday, and you can catch the action on Phil TV, the audio only of the game with Jack Igagdor and Brett Morrison. Until tonight at 10 on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.